ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ चैप्टर 76 नंबर 36। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज भगव पार्वती वर्सेस चित्रकेतु। श्री शुक उवाच इति श्रुत्वा भगवतः श्रीशुक उवाच इति श्रुत्वा भगवतः शिवस्योमाभिभाषिता बभुवा शान्तधीराजा देवी विगतविस्मया। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, after hearing this speech by her husband, the demigoddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva, gave up her astonishment at the behavior of King Chitraketu and became steady in intelligence. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, so the word Shantadhi means Svya Purva Swabhava Smritya. When Parvati remembered her former behavior in cursing Chitraketu, she became very much ashamed and covered her face with the skirt of her sari, admitting that she was wrong in cursing Chitraketu. Chitva Bhagavata Shivasyoma Abhi Vaishitam Bhabhuvarshantadhi Rajan Devi Vigata Vismaya. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, after hearing this speech by her husband, the demigoddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva, gave up her astonishment at the behavior of King Chitraketu and became steady in intelligence. Hare Krishna. I seek the blessings of senior devotees, especially Shinaji Prabhu. So here Lord Shiva is concluding his talk, responding to the curse of Mother Parvati, which she uttered to Chitraketu Maharaj by seeing some apparent wrong behavior, and she cursed Chitraketu Maharaj to become a demon. And then respond to her curse, Maharaj Chitraketu's response was so brilliant that he became very sportive. He came down, he offered his obeisances to Mother Parvati, and he said, you are not the instrument of my curse, you are not the cause of my curse, rather you are an instrument, and I didn't do any wrong, but still I accept this. And by seeing the behavior, Lord Shiva's response was equally wonderful. He glorified the character of Chitraketu Maharaj. In fact, there was a Uddipan. Uddipan means there was a rise of devotion to Krishna, devotion to Krishna's devotees, and he glorified the behavior of Chitraketu Maharaj. And hearing the behavior, hearing the response of Maharaj, Lord Shiva, we see here Parvati was contemplating on her previous behavior and became quite sober and peaceful. So the material world, we see the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, it comes because unpredictable situations. Curse is not something a part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, the response to the curse given to Parikshit Maharaj is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is about. When Parikshit Maharaj is cursed by the Sringi Brahmana, unpredictably, it was not well thought, unexpected for Parikshit Maharaj. But how did Parikshit Maharaj receive? Usually when we act in this world, we are very calculative, knowing or hoping that according to my action, there has to be proper response. And if the response is otherwise, we are disturbed. And Parikshit Maharaj did not expect this kind of response from Sringi. You know, he was well built, very strong, very pious, had very powerful connection with the Pandavas. He was well protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We were discussing this, that Krishna appeared from the womb of Devaki, but in regards to Parikshit Maharaj, he appeared in the womb of his mother to protect Parikshit Maharaj. That was the connection of Parikshit Maharaj. Therefore, he was called as Parikshit Maharaj. He was connected to great devotees. And his astrological chart was perfectly right. But still, as the nature of the material world, he was cursed to die within 7 days. So therefore, every living entity, one who has the material body means a curse. I like this statement by Devamrita Swami. He said, when you get up in the morning, when you see you still have a material body, that is a disaster. Don't expect for any other disaster. If you have the material body, that itself is a disaster. And then, on top of that, if you have a material body in Kali Yuga, that is another greater disaster. Intensified disaster. And then on top of that, having a material body in Kali Yuga, in modern age, you know, just it becomes more and more superlative. And when we have this material body in Kali Yuga, in modern age, living in a very artificial civilization, not expecting trouble is very surprising. Parikshit Maharaj was not expecting some difficulty, but when the difficulty came, he lived up to that with proper consciousness. So therefore, Srila Rudanand Maharaj is explaining there are two kinds of atheism. One is philosophical atheism and second is psychological atheism. Philosophical theism or believing in God philosophically, it is not so big deal. It's quite easy to accept the existence of God. Just imagine, it takes greater conviction in non-existence of God. Philosophically, it's very easy to accept the existence of God. That is philosophical theism. But based upon our experience in this world, when we have certain experiences, our actions do not always correspond to our understanding. When our action does not correspond to our philosophical understanding, that causes conflict. And then there is a doubt in regards to Krishna's interference in our life. And then we question why Krishna does like this. And that is a psychological atheism. That philosophically we accept Krishna's existence, that Krishna exists. And whatever Krishna does in my life is good. But when there is a wrong experience, based upon that wrong experience, we doubt. Does Krishna really know what is good for me? So that is called as psychological atheism. And that is more important than philosophical theism. Because our experience what counts in this material world. If we have very strong experience, negative experience, it creates a lot of conflict. And based upon that negative, and then material world, especially in this age of Kali, most of the time we will keep on getting bad experiences. And based upon those bad experiences, we will believe in something or we not believe in something. Like, you know, we were in London and we had to go to Slovenian embassy to get our visa. And the visa officer had written something on his board. And it said that my lord, he's calling my lord. He said, my lord, it is so difficult to love 4 of my family members. It is so difficult. How can I accept that you can love every living entity in the entire creation? My lord is there. He accepts God. But based upon his experience, that he cannot love four people in his family, he is concluding that how can God love everybody? Not possible. We remember when we were studying in our school, I think in the 9th standard, there was a story in the textbook about the experience of one young boy. He had attended Shivratri festival. And Shivratri festival, usually people stay up whole night. And in that Shivratri festival, when he was staying up whole night, watching everyone, especially kids, they could be more inquisitive. He was watching, and what did he see? He saw a rat crawling around the Shivalinga. So when he saw that the rat is crawling around Shivalinga, he became suspicious. If this person is going to protect me, how can he not chase a rat away from him? That became a psychological, you know, thing for him. And eventually created a philosophy. Arya Samaj was brought by that. By small experience, based upon how DT cannot have the ability to handle a rat on him, how can he take care of us? So therefore he created a philosophy that DT worship should not be accepted because it's a worshipping a statue. So based upon our experiences, which are very strong, repeated experience of negativity will always lead to conflicting our philosophical understanding. Again, Nazi, what was his understanding? He said, I will not accept God who is a punishing God. Therefore he said, God is dead. Again, based upon his childhood experiences, when he was being raised by his family, and they were very strict, always showing the rod of chastisement, either by words, creating fear in him, that actually how God can, if you do wrong, you'll be chastised. If you do wrong, you'll be beaten. If you do wrong, you'll be sent to hell. So if the experience about God is always fearsome, bitter, you know, anger God, God with anger, so naturally what was his response? The response was spontaneous. A response is not well thought. A response is always based upon your experience and it is immediate response. And he said, God is dead. And he said, if God is loving, dancing, then I will accept such God. Therefore, Krishna conscious philosophy means there is a philosophy, but more than the philosophy, there is a culture. There is a practice. And that practice is so made, it is so created, that it gives a powerful positive experiences. We are overflown by the powerful experiences. And based upon those powerful experiences, when our life is governed by these positive experiences in Krishna consciousness only, no other place can give us positive experiences. When there is a hope of positive experience in the material world, we plan everything nicely, hoping that there will be positive experience. We try hard, again and again, repeatedly. And we keep getting failures. So those negative experiences of life, they lead to a different psychological atheism. But only in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada explains in a nice purport, that what is Kali Yuga? Kali Yuga's place for conflict, quarrel and hypocrisy. And therefore no solution can help. What solution can help? Only when the devotees come together, chant and hear about Krishna, it's that powerful experience will help them to overcome the negativity and continue to be convinced about the existence of the Lord, the protection of the Lord and the maintenance of the Lord. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he talks about Sharanagati, when we talk about Sharanagati, Sharanagati is such a scary concept for a non-devotee and a practicing devotee, that offering everything to someone without knowing the results of your surrender. And if somebody is asked to jump from 26th story building, it's a scary proposal, that who will take care of me if I jump from the 26th floor building. We know there is no shelter, and if I jump in the air itself, I will die. What to speak of coming down because of breathlessness. Because the jump is there, that is surrender, but there is no concept of, or there is no experience of shelter. So unless there is a shelter, there is no sharanagati. Only when we experience shelter, then it's much easier to take surrender to somebody. So therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he talks about the concept of sharanagati, he makes it so easy. It is not a fantastic idea that sharanagati means how can I surrender to Krishna without knowing what will happen to me. First, the experience is given of shelter. In Krishna consciousness, before even the spiritual master asks for the shelter, like yesterday Gaurangpur was mentioning, that four things Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in regards to connecting with the spiritual master. First is Guru Padashraya. Guru Padashraya means first a devotee or aspiring candidate receives the shelter of the spiritual master. First Sharanagati is not there. First shelter is there. So that is the prerogative of the spiritual master. He gives the shelter to the conditioned souls. And then after giving shelter to the conditioned souls, he gives shiksha. He gives spiritual knowledge. He gives understanding of Krishna. He gives the understanding of the spiritual master. He gives the understanding of the material world. And third, the guru gives diksha. Sometimes we see Prabhupada would initiate devotees who are not qualified. Why? Because that was his mercy. Even without being qualified, he would give them the shelter. The shelter was given, the education was given, official diksha was given. He said these three principles are the activities of the spiritual master. And the fourth one is the Vishrambena Guru Seva. When these three things are there, given by the spiritual master, the fourth comes from the disciple. What does he do? He starts rendering service to the spiritual master. And therefore Krishna we see in this world and his devotees, his representatives, they are always offering us wonderful shelter. And because they are offering their shelter, it is our responsibility to experience that sharanagati. The shelter is there. And therefore sharanagati becomes very easy. And how does the sharanagati comes in our life? And that is the brilliant philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a step-by-step process. First comes anukulasya sankalpa. Whatever is favorable in devotional service, accept that. It's so easy to perform. Accepting whatever favorable in Krishna service is very easy. Eating Krishna prasad. The whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the whole culture of Krishna consciousness is all about taking prasad. After the Bhagavatam class, there is a prasad. After deity worship, there is a prasad. When you visit the holy place, first thing you receive is prasad. We see how the positive activities in devotional service are very easy to perform. First comes the positive activities. Accept whatever is favorable in Krishna service, that is Sharanagati. Very easy, very practical. But when we perform those activities which are very favorable, that creates a very powerful experience. Like one person was saying, it is not what you understand, it is not what you act, but what is most important is what you make me feel. The feeling is the powerful, more than the knowledge and more than the action. And Krishna consciousness is all about giving that experience. So accepting whatever is favorable in Krishna service, hearing about Krishna, we see many times, like we were doing Pradyumna Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's disciple Pradyumna Prabhu told our devotees in New York that Prabhupada came to give Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam is one which will create revolution. So Gadadhar Pandit Prabhu preaches in New York, in Columbia University.
He said, why don't you start speaking Srimad Bhagavatam? Let them hear Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is such a book, it will create a revolution in their heart, more than in the intelligence. So he's taking Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Narad and Vyas Samvad, to the Colombian students. These are American students, American professors. And when he speaks Srimad Bhagavatam, he asked me, you come and speak also. So I was speaking Bhagavatam, first canto, and I spoke about how the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the experience relating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I told a story of Putana, that how Putana was blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though she came to kill the Lord, she came to kill Krishna, but Krishna responded favorably to her. He gave her a powerful experience. And I was telling a story given by Sri Vaishnava. When Krishna was going back to the spiritual world, he called affectionately for his mother, Hema. And who came? Yashoda, Devaki and Putana came. So when I was telling this story, after the class was over, one student came. And the student said, that was a brilliant story. How, even though this lady came to kill Krishna, but Krishna responded so nicely, he gave her the position of a mother, and when he was going back to the spiritual world, he was remembering, and she came, having that confidence that Krishna is calling me. It's a brilliant story. She was a Christian girl, but she liked it, and she was taking notes all the time, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because the Srimad Bhagavatam affects our consciousness. So therefore, we see anukullasya sankalpa. All experience in Krishna consciousness which are favorable will give us powerful experience. And then the second step, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about avoiding unfavorable. If you are told to avoid unfavorable in the first place, it is a difficult proposal. Like Prabhupada gave the example of the hunter. When he met the hunter, Mrigari, what did Narad Muni say? Narad Muni said, he didn't say, don't kill. That is a negative. Narad Muni said, kill fully. Prabhupada writes about this. Rather than saying, don't kill, Narad Muni said, why do you kill the animals half? Kill them full. By hearing that, he said, it didn't make any sense to him. What is the difference between full killing and half killing? He asked that question. That means, Mrigari, by experiencing that words from Narad Muni, first time in his life he asked question. He would not ask question to anybody. Just shoot arrows and kill animals. First time he said, what is the difference? So Narad Muni brought him to that level of asking this question. What is the difference between half killing and full killing? Why? By saying something which he could do, Narad Muni made him inquisitive. So that is the power of devotional service. When we accept something positive regularly, then giving up negativity is not a big deal. Like in the 22nd Avenue, when Prabhupada initiated devotees. First he gave simply the positive. He gave them Krishna Prasad. He gave them the holy name. He told them the pastimes of the Lord. He gave his personal association. They liked Prabhupada. They liked his Prasad. They liked his association. He gave them the experience of chanting Hare Krishna. And he initiated them also. Gave them very, fascinating names. Which they were very difficult for them to pronounce also. And that was more fascinating. Like our devotees are performing this, our Nitai Prabhu does this Burning Man's festival. And the part of the festival when the Americans come to their booth, they ask him, what's your name? He says, Mark. Oh, your name is new name. We are giving you a new name. Your name is Madhavadas. They feel, wow, I'm getting a good Sanskrit name. So Prabhupada gave them the name. He performed this yajna. The whole experience was very fascinating. And the next morning when they came to take their bath, they saw the board. Those who are duly initiated, you'll find his board everywhere in ISKCON. What was it? He said, those who are duly initiated, they are not supposed to eat meat. No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. No engaging in frivolous sports, no readings of the newspapers. They said, my God, he never told this one. But anyway, because we have initiated now, why not practice this one also? Like Srila Prabhupada once, he said, now all the devotees should eat less. And one devotee said, Prabhupada, but in the original, when you started the temple, you said that you eat as much as you want. Prabhupada said, when I said that, you didn't object. Huh? Now also you should not object. I say, don't eat more, you should not eat more, because you didn't object when I told you, eat more prasad. So then the devotee said, yeah, it makes sense. So therefore, Krishna is very systematic. First, accept whatever is favorable. And after accepting whatever is favorable, actually practicing Krishna consciousness. Like these two people came to check, what is this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission? They thought that he's from the Anushilan Samiti. Anushilan Samiti was a very active, aggressive, violent group of people wanted to throw the Britishers away by using weapons. So the Britishers thought that this Gaudiya Mad is also like that. They send their spies. You go and check them. And the spies would come and sit very close to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Very attentively hearing. They were not sleeping in the class. Because they had to hear every word. And they heard the whole thing, and after 1 year was over, they came. He said, we are so fascinated by this philosophy, we want to become your disciples. Accidentally practicing favorable to Krishna consciousness gives the conviction to practice for the rest of your life. There was no intention, but still they practiced. But there was attention. There was focus. So practicing Krishna consciousness favorably, the next step is what? Giving up activities which are unfavorable. So in this way, psychologically also we are becoming strong. We are becoming theistic. And based upon that, anukullasya sankalpa pratikullasya varjanam. And the third thing is that rakshasiti vishwasa. Vishwasa is not an intellectual concept. It is not the assumption. It is the acceptance in the heart. Based upon that experience, we start believing that actually Krishna is the protector, rakshasiti vishwasa, and then guruptutra varanam tata. Then we come to know that Krishna is the maintainer also. He is actually maintaining me. And then the fifth stage is what? Atmanikshepa. Atmanikshepa means willingness to offer everything in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the fifth stage. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so mercifully does not demand immediately do Atmanikshepa. Just surrender. It is never told to us. And then the last stage is the stage of humility. Karpanya. Humility is much greater than sacrifice. Why? Because in Atmanikshepa we see in Bali Maharaj's case, when Bali Maharaj is offering everything to Krishna, he offered everything to Krishna. But Krishna, he took everything from Bali Maharaj within two steps. And still he had one step. And Vamandev asked him, so where will I place my third step? Because I've occupied everything what you have. And there Bali Maharaj still felt that actually the possessor is greater than the possession. Still that ego was there. I am greater than what I possess. If you still exist, you may lose all your possession. So what will you do? Eventually can again win over. Therefore Prabhupada explains, he quotes Niti. In Niti it is explained, first one should try to protect oneself. Second one should try to protect one's religious principle. And third one should try to protect one's possession. If something has to go, let the possession go. If the next thing has to go, let the religious principle go. And the third, yourself. Because if you exist, then you can still get back your religious principle. You can get back your possessions. So Bali Maharaj said, you know, I am still existing. So therefore, there is some time in sacrifice, there is also involvement of false ego. Because I practice this, therefore whatever happens, I am not going to give it up. However violent act is done upon me, I don't care. Of course, that also takes great ability to handle. But greater than that, Humility. Why? In humility, there is an involvement of sacrificing one's false ego. And that is the most difficult sacrifice to perform. The sacrificing of false ego. And especially in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, we have such a bad background. Everyone has a bad background. We are born in Kali Yuga. Still we take such a pride of being, you know, having something with us. Like one Britisher was telling, he was flying with us. And he said, you know, it's not that in India there is a caste system exists. He said, caste system exists in the Western world also. When the Asians come to the Western countries, they practice equality. They don't know who is Brahman, who is Shudra. They treat everyone like that. That you're not proper, you're not an Aryan, you're not civilized, you're not from a higher community. There is a racism also. They don't make a discrimination. In India we fight. The Brahmanas think they are superior and the Shudras think that they have been dominated and we want to take revenge. But both go to America or the British country, both are treated. You are untouchable. Outcast. So therefore, this mentality is always there. Of being what? I am superior because the false ego is there. And as long as the false ego is there, and with that false ego the sacrifice is there, still it is not complete. Only when the humility comes into the picture. Why? Because humility involves giving up one's false ego. And that's the most difficult thing to do. And therefore Chitraketu, why could he accept this curse of Mother Parvati? Because there was no false ego. Parikshit Maharaj also, before we venture into reading 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when in the beginning, when Prabhupada makes this point, that I have put everything in the first three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, I didn't understand, why does Prabhupada make that claim that everything is there in the first three volumes? What about the second canto, third canto, fourth canto? But actually when we read repeatedly the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand the concept of Parikshit Maharaj's life. How he was able to handle the unpredictable situation in an amazing way. When he was cursed by Sringi, before even the curse was uttered, he realized that I made some mistake. And what did he say? He said, let my kingdom, let my power, let my wealth be destroyed. Because I have done this mistake. Now sometimes we pray like that. Krishna, you know, because of whatever I have done, let whatever is supposed to happen, happen immediately. But not now. We may say that. But there is also, you know, kind of a prayer, not so immediately, maybe delayed immediate. But Parikshit Maharaj immediately said that, let everything be destroyed. But actually when it happens, when Krishna actually takes away everything from us, rather than asking why now, we ask why me? Not even why now. We ask why me, what did I do? Nothing was pre-arranged. And here Parikshit Maharaj accepted, and when it came, what did Parikshit Maharaj say? Amazing, the whole pastime in the 18th chapter and 19th chapter, the disposition of Parikshit Maharaj, if we keep on repeatedly reading, we realize where we stand in expressing our false ego. Parikshit Maharaj said, I think Krishna is so merciful to me that I was not supposed to be attaining Krishna's lotus feet in my regular activities. Why? Because I was attached. But Krishna has come in the form of the curse. Dvijashaparupa. He said he has come in the form of the curse, and at least out of fear, now I can take devotional service seriously. But that was not the case. The case was what? Parikshit Maharaj was always a pure devotee of high order. But even he was cursed wrongly, but he still accepted. Actually it was a right decision upon me. I am supposed to be dead within 7 days. And Krishna has come as the curse. And then he said, actually I am not supposed to be a devotee. Only because I am connected to the Pandavas, therefore Krishna and all the devotees are merciful to me. Parikshit Maharaj said. And then eventually, When all the saintly people came to him, what did he pray? He said, let there be complete attraction to the Supreme Lord if I have to take birth again. And let there be association of devotees. Sometime we desire to go back to the spiritual world that we had enough of the association. Sometime the association is not so sweet. And most of the time it is not sweet because the false egos are involved. Therefore, based upon frustration, we may say, you know, best is to go back to the spiritual world. And there is no such troubled devotees who can trouble us. But Parikshit Maharaj says, let there be association of devotees and then friendliness to all the living entities. With this intention, when he exhibits this disposition, that causes the attraction. Shukadeva Goswami comes there to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. Therefore, this Sharanagati, the humility, and on top of that, the devotees say, you know, Sharanagati is the highest in the form of humility. Like in Prerana lecture, somebody asked Maharaj, humility is so difficult. And what was the answer? He said, humility actually is the basics of Krishna consciousness. And Ashlishava Padaratam Pinishtuma is the highest. So when the knowledge comes to a devotee, you know, what Krishna is saying, humility is the highest. He says, humility is the basics. And that is also true. And he says something other than that. Ashlishva Padaratam Pinishtumam is the higher than Sharanagati. So therefore, we see Parikshit Maharaj when he was cursed, when Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed, because the whole point is, the material world is so arranged that the material body is going to give us lot of difficulties. If it is not giving difficulty, we should be grateful to Krishna that we are still able to speak today. We are able to hear Krishna Katha. We are able to see the deities. We are able to walk to the temple of the Lord. Rather than experiencing or thinking how much Krishna has done to me in this world, with this material body, all these years, I was able to come to Krishna. Because actually this material body has to fail every second and give us, you know, hopelessness in one sense. But still it is not doing it. That is Krishna's mercy. But when it does, one should not be surprised. Philosophically, when something goes wrong, philosophically we should not be disturbed. Like, you know, whatever happened to Raghupati Prabhu, 34 years old. Who could imagine that such a young man doing pranayama for more than 1 hour, most healthy, you know, always healthy conscious. Nitya Krishna Prabhu also never went to the hospital, never in his life. That itself is a surprising. Going to the hospital is not surprising. So therefore, as a devotee, like Hridayananda Maharaj is making this point very strongly, he said, philosophical theism is okay because it's on an intellectual platform. But what about psychological theism? Are you practicing that? And if you are not practicing, then you are far away from Krishna. Because ultimately our experience will overcome our philosophical understanding. It is unavoidable. We may be strong philosophically, but if we don't keep on increasing our experiences, the positive experience of Krishna, then when the wrong experiences come in our life, that's going to choke up our philosophical understanding. Unfortunately. Therefore, the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita explains, Krishna explains, when there is a greater happiness in the form of ocean, if our happiness is as big as ocean, then the distress which are like rivers will not disturb. Including the accidental curses which will come in our life. We will be able to withstand it and practice devotional service strongly even in that situation as Parikshit Maharaj did, as Chitraketu Maharaj did. Otherwise, even slighted provocation in our life, bad experiences, what will they do? They will simply cover all our good experiences and we will regret. We will be ungrateful. We will be complaining. Why this happened to me? I did so much. So therefore, when we have the time, when we have the energy, when we have the ability, If we don't keep on experiencing, we don't keep on collecting the good experiences, because when the wrong, the bad experiences come, which are going to come, eventually, if not today, tomorrow, maybe next second also, when they come, then we can withstand them with our good experience. And with those good experience, we can also become philosophically strong. Because the philosophy is all about the experience. Narad Muni's philosophy is based upon what he experienced in the associations of the Bhakti Vedantas. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is so profound if we practice the favorable activities. Associate with devotees, hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, worship the deities, go to the holy places and chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then those powerful experience will withstand the negative experiences of this world, which will keep on coming as the time passes, as our body starts growing old. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Anandana.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, I am finding it difficult to see in this chapter. We have been told in our spiritual life that Vaishnava offense is the biggest offense. And we have to see to it that we take care of it at every stage of our life. Now, seeing this chapter, Mother Parvati, she had seen Chitraketu doing something not proper. And she became very much, immediately she became very angry and she curses Chitraketu Maharaj. But after that, we know that how Chitraketu Maharaj reacted, and he was very positive to that extent that Shiva himself said, Narayana Parasarve, that devotees are so elevated. So externally we see that Parvati did something wrong, indirectly. But there is nothing mentioned that Parvati got any Vaishnava offense. So that is really disturbing us, that when Vaishnava offense means it is applicable for everybody, whosoever he might be. And second thing which I am finding it difficult to understand is where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Chitraketu Maharaj has got curse because Krishna wanted him to go back to God and as quick as it can. But before this chapter itself, when the problem came up, when his children was died, and then Narad Muni and all of them came, and then he preached, and Chitraketu Maharaj became so elevated in Krishna consciousness, so much fixed up in Krishna consciousness, that Lord Shankarshan came in front of him. And when Chitraketu Maharaj offered the prayers are so elevated, that Shankarshan himself is saying that, I am very pleased with your prayers. When the Lord himself is coming, he is accepting the prayers, he is completely satisfied with the prayers, then still he is not fit for going back to God, and that he has to become Vritrasura. So these two doubts are...
Therefore there is no limit how much advancement you can make in Krishna consciousness. It is not, okay, now it's over, Ananta Dev has come, he has giving him his darshan, he is experiencing ecstasy, that's it. That is the power of bhakti. There is no limit. If Krishna thinks that is not sufficient, it is not sufficient. It's very individualistic, bhakti. For us, having a glimpse of the Lord is sufficient, but for Chitraketu Maharaj, that is not sufficient from Krishna's point of view. One has to understand, bhakti is not stereotyped. It is not based upon certain, rules. It is based upon how Krishna relates to that devotee. So, the Lord must have felt that it is not sufficient. And what kind of benediction he had got? We would wish to have like that of benediction. That all sense gratification while remembering Krishna. Huh? Enjoying with Vidyadhari women. Who will not want it? And no sin in that. While enjoying women is still as a remembrance of Krishna. We have conflict. Remembering Krishna means no sense gratification. Sense gratification means you cannot remember Krishna. There is a guilt. But for Chitraketu Maharaj, unlimited sense gratification while remembering Krishna. He wanted. But then still, it was not complete. Again, different angles are given. You know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving that angle of, you know, Krishna wanted him to come back. Therefore, he arranged like that. So therefore, to think that, okay, this is the level I have come to in Krishna consciousness. Krishna is so merciful. No, the mercy will come more in a different way. And then the willingness to accept. Ultimately, it was Chitraketu Maharaj's glories that he took it as a mercy. If you don't take it as a mercy, then even going back to God, it will be a disturbance. Durvasmani was there. He went to Vaikuntha planet. But he didn't experience anything of Vaikuntha. Even in Vaikuntha, I was full of anxiety. Because he saw the Sudarshan Chakra is being chasing him. But even if you are in the material world, like one devotee, you know, he was staying in Vrindavan. He's a New Yorker. And you know, Maharaj is telling me, he was Brahmachari for 25 years in New York. But he got married in Vrindavan. Maharaj said, just see. I hope he doesn't listen to this talk. And he said, he was telling, very nice devotee. He said, you know what? He said, I come to get inspired in New York. He comes to our ashram in 26 Second Avenue. He said, there is greater, you know, freedom. I can practice without any trouble. Since he's married in Vrindavan, he has to make money in Vrindavan. His anxieties are there. So he's in Vrindavan, but there is the anxiety of raising the family. But he's in New York with devotees and he can chant very nicely. So what is spiritual, what is material, as Prabhupada writes in the 10th canto, is all about your perceptions. If you make Vrindavan into a place of anxiety, that is place of anxiety. And if you can make New York into Vrindavan by your behavior, then that becomes Vrindavan for you. That is how Krishna responds to devotee. Therefore, Chitraketu Maharaj, from Krishna's point of view, was not ready to go back to Godhead. Krishna had to create the situation. Parikshit Maharaj, you know, just see, Prabhupada purports in that story where Parikshit Maharaj putting that snake in the neck of a Brahmana. Natural that it is a Parikshit Maharaj's mistake from a material point of view. How could a king born and brought up in a cultured family would ever do to a sage? He is meditating. Prabhupada writes that ordinarily it is right on Parikshit Maharaj, if you are not treated and you are thirsty so much, you want water and nobody responds to your call for water, you'll act like that. You'll become angry that you have gone to somebody's house and you are requesting, give me some glass of water, and he's not giving you water. You'll curse him. Rascal, pani bhi nahi deta. So naturally, in that way, Parikshit Maharaj put that snake. And Prabhupada writes that, but Parikshit Maharaj is not ordinary. He's not an ordinary person. He's an extraordinary person. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. So how can thirst cause difficulty to him and respond like that? So it was the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, eventually when Sringi cursed Parikshit Maharaj, Prabhupada does not at all support Sringi. He blasts Sringi left and right. He just supports Parikshit Maharaj. And then he quotes Jiva Goswami, quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He said, actually it was nothing but the arrangement of the Lord because the Srimad Bhagavatam had to incarnate. And Parikshit Maharaj is being used. And how Parikshit Maharaj responded, while all the Acharyas, Prabhupada, you know, Krishna is arranging, he could have responded wrongly after the incident took place. But immediately after doing that incident, he started condemning himself. So therefore, you know, when I read these six types of Sharanagati, you know, humility is greater than sacrifice. It's a quite a revelation. That sometime we can perform great task. But why? Yes, Krishna is there, Krishna is involved, but sometime my factor is greater than the Krishna factor. Doing it for Krishna only, but the greater factor is that I am doing it. So therefore, you know, I will take any amount of difficulty to achieve. Krishna is that the benefit will come. But humility means to willingness to give up everything on the spot, as Parikshit Maharaj. We also have so much of a difficulty that, you know, when we are told not to dress today, especially on the festivals, only once, if the pujari comes and tells not to do it, there is such a pain in the ego. Mere se politics ho raha hai. That is a natural response we are. And Parikshit Maharaj, everything was taken away from him. His kingdom, his wealth, his possession, you know, to die within 7 days, he could have created a big philosophy only. How it was wrong. Wrote a book condemning the Brahman community. How the whole Brahman community has come together and created this big agenda against me. But therefore, you know, out of that humility, he tolerated, not only tolerated, he made it a powerful experience, positive experience. And then he condemns himself. He said, actually, I am such a person that I'm a relative of a great devotee. I'm not a great devotee. Only because I'm related to the Pandavas, therefore Krishna is favoring me. Otherwise, I'm nobody. I'm not a devotee. And that is what devotional service is all about. Rituals. Prabhupada told that story. He said, when we are ritualistic in our devotional service, imitating what others do. He gave that story of a clerk. He was making a copy, the fair copy, from the rough copy. Taking all the notes from the rough copy. And then after the fair copy was done, he went to the bathroom with his fair copy. And the boss came, what are you doing? He said, there is a fly smashed on the rough copy, so I have to paste some fly on the original also. So that's what we just imitate. Oh, he has got mercy like that. So I will also do the same way. That may be totally different for me. And Mother Parvati not being offended, not getting the reaction for her activities. Like we were discussing this point, sometime when a powerful personality is given the responsibility of serving Krishna, and when he makes mistake, Krishna will say, okay, I will not take it because you are doing service also. But when the same mistake is done by someone who is inferior, he is condemned badly. Like Indra yesterday, Radhesham Prabhu was saying, day before yesterday. Indra, we see, repeatedly makes the mistake. But if you do the same mistake, if I and you do the same mistake, you know, we will be condemned. But Indra is never condemned. Why? Because he is doing service also. So therefore, we see sometimes those who are in responsible position, when they are given power, they misuse their power. Like, one of the devotees of ISKCON, he became the spiritual master. You know, he did so much of service. But then he had a problem, he fell down from Krishna consciousness. But now, when someone who is such a powerful personality, by his service becomes very great, but he starts misusing the facilities after performing that service, Krishna, what does he do? He takes away. How does he take away? By making him fall down. And those who imitated such a personality without actually doing so much of service, when he fell down, they also fell down. They said, oh, what happened? If my guru falls down, how can I talk? They also fell down. And most of them would not come back. Why? Because they were imitating. But this person was actually performing devotional service on the order of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And he misused the facilities eventually. But now, you know, recently Maharaj showed one picture of one person on his computer. He said, do you recognize this picture? And we were looking. None of us we could recognize. And he said, he told about this devotee. He said, this is this devotee. And everyone was said, wow. And he was in pant shirt. And Maharaj narrated. He said, this devotee was telling Maharaj, he met him.
He said, whatever I have done to Prabhupada by causing trouble to him, by acting wrongly, he said, I will never undo it by simple act. He said, I will go to some remote ISKCON temple where there are no senior devotees. And for many years simply, you know, just clean the toilets, clean the bathrooms and get purified. Then Prabhupada can engage me in service. Is he not well situated? Much better than being a spiritual master, because the humility is there. As a guru, you know, there was a lot of difficulties in handling that. But as a toilet cleaner, there is such a humility, is much, much higher than, you know, any position in ISKCON. Being a GBC, being a guru, being a sannyasi, being a temple president, because that humility is there. All of us, like most devotees, became very emotional to hear that statement. And there are people who condemn him for doing what he did. You know, not acting properly. They still condemn. But here this devotee, by exhibiting that humility, genuinely, he has already conquered the heart of Srila Prabhupada. From the eyes of Srila Prabhupada, he is very well situated. So similarly, when somebody does a great service like Prabhupada, Shyamananda Prabhu said that, an elephant does Herculean task, but don't complain if the elephant eats nicely and also passes stool in a big quantity. They can do it. But if you do without working hard, if you eat lot and you'll have a diarrhea. And nobody will appreciate that. Somebody complained to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, this devotee, you know, is causing so much of trouble. Prabhupada said, when the cow gives milk, you don't complain. When the cow kicks, you are complaining. He said, these American devotees are like cows. They give a lot of milk, but they also have the tendency to kick. He told one Indian devotee, he said, you have to tolerate. So therefore, when somebody is such a stature, who is Parvati? She is Durga. Not ordinary, not you and me. She can wrong somebody, she can make that mistake of cursing and offending a Vaishnava. But she has somebody to correct her and she is willing to accept that correction. Simply by willingness to accept the correction of her husband, she is forgiven. Gopinath, you want to say something? And yes, God Hari Prabhu.
Emphasize that if there is a misunderstanding with a devotee, then one of the first responsibilities is we should think I may be the cause of this entire thing. But in Chitraketu Maharaj's pastime, when this happened, Chitraketu Maharaj he felt he was not the cause. I mean, he was not responsible. So what is the right etiquette?
No, one is a practical and one is emotional, devotional. No, like, if somebody has done something wrong, if you are dealing in an institution and somebody, you know, does something, somebody drops some sacred items of the Lord, and if the authority comes, you know, and you are there on the altar also, you may say, yeah, I am responsible. In your heart you may say that. But the practical is that, okay, you know, this happened with this devotee's hand. Like that. So therefore, where to use philosophy and where to use practicality, that's more important. That's very important. So Chitraketu Maharaj made it very clear that how he was not intentional in offending Lord Shiva. He made it to Mother Parvati very clear. You read the previous purport, you'll understand. Prabhupada says. So then, after clarifying that, devotionally he accepted it. Like we were discussing, you know, when somebody goes through some difficulty, you know, like this, what Raghupati went through. Philosophically, we can't. We have to be hard-hearted that this is part of life. Body is going to act like this. There is no other way body will respond other than give us shocks. So if we cannot be philosophically emotional, but devotionally, you can't extend that to relating to that devotee. Oh, anyway, you are supposed to suffer. That is part of your life. You know, you have done some bad thing, therefore Krishna is responding by giving you this. Then you can't extend that in your practical behavior. In practical behavior, you work in such a way, you take care of that devotee in such a way that you are the one who is going to change his situation. If that is not there, if that understanding is not there, if that activities are not like that, if you extend philosophical understanding to practical understanding, if somebody is suffering and you say, it's your karma, man, suffer. That is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Then that is cruel-heartedness. So therefore, one should know where to use the philosophy and where to use our heart. If you use the heart in philosophy and philosophy in heart, then that causes violence in the society of devotees. Therefore, philosophically we have to be very strong. Nothing can change our understanding. Like Krishna told Arjuna, you know, this was one of our topics when we were traveling, 2.14. Matra Sparshastu Kauntaya. We were having a, you know, interaction. That which is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Is it Manumana Bhava Mad Bhakto? It is Sarva Dharmans Parityajya? Or is it the 11.55? Now the discussion was 2.14 is the most important verse. Unless you understand that verse carefully, you can't practice any other verse. Because if you practice any other verse other than this verse nicely, then you will have some other expectation of practicing the verse Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto. He said, practice 2.14 first. Why? In the 2.14, Krishna makes it very, very clear, you can't change the situations. Situations will remain as it is. When Krishna said, Dehinosmin Yata Dehi, Arjuna said, Acharyas explain, that I understand his philosophy that I am not his body, but what about my relationship? With Bhishma, with Drona, with my friends. Then Krishna spoke 2.14. He said, that is unavoidable. You can't avoid it. You have to tolerate them without being disturbed. Philosophically. When Arjuna was shooting arrows, philosophically he was convinced they are not their bodies. But emotionally he was crying when he was killing Bhishma. He didn't philosophize killing Bhishma Deva. You are not your body. I kill you anyway. So there is no fear, you know. After hearing the Bhagavad Gita, when Abhimanyu died, you don't expect Arjuna not to cry. He cried. For him it became totally emptiness. But philosophically the conviction never changed. Krishna is my Lord and he will take care of me and I have to work for Krishna. But with Dronacharya his lifestyle changed. When he heard Ashwatthama is dead, he was supposed to be dedicating to Duryodhan. But when he heard that Ashwatthama is dead, he stopped his dedication. He sat for meditation. From being a warrior, he became, you know, meditator. But Arjuna never changed. He continued. Emotionally he was affected, but philosophically he was not affected. So that's how a devotee has to practice his devotional service. Practical one aspect, philosophical one aspect, emotional one aspect. When they are properly practiced, like Prabhupada explains, one should love Krishna, one should have knowledge of the soul, and one should be detached from the body. We analyze the body so much. Rather than being detached from the body, you know, we have so much of knowledge about this body, how this body functions. That is not proper. And about the soul, you know, we don't understand about the soul. Understanding has to be there of the soul. One has to be detached from the body. Even if you don't have the knowledge about the body, how the body functions, one should be detached. And one should love Krishna. You can't love the body. You can't love the soul. You can love Krishna. That is how bhakti is supposed to be performed. Love Krishna, be detached from the body, and have the knowledge of the soul. So all aspects are used. And then we make progress in Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.